Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining the new adopted standard SAS Wars. I'm Mike Berry with ONC and serve as a designated federal officer of the HITACH and this task force. On behalf of ONC, I'd like to thank all of the task force members for volunteering their time and expertise, and also the members of the public for joining us as well. As a reminder, your feedback is welcomed, which can be typed in the chat feature throughout the meeting or could be made verbally during the public comment period that is scheduled at about 11:50 Eastern time this morning. So I'm going to begin roll call of our task force members. So when I call your name, please indicate that you are here. And I'll start with our co-chairs, Hans Butendeck.
Good morning.
D. Weichner.
Good morning.
Jeff Danford.
Good morning.
Raj Gavarti. Jim Gerges. John Kilborn.
Jim Gerges here, sorry.
Thanks, Jim. And John Kilborn. Hung Lu.
Good morning.
Glenn McDonald. Devin McGraw. Eliel Oliveira.
Good morning.
Basil Pechev.
Good morning.
Samantha Pitts. Alexis Snyder.
Good morning.
Bill Sutherland.
Good morning.
Ram Charan.
Good morning.
Raymond Yu. Debbie Willis.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much. And now please join me in welcoming Hans and Steve for the opening remarks.
Steve, if you want to start.
After you, sir.
So good morning, everybody. Really appreciate everybody joining. Today is going to be our first deeper dive, which will be a good experience to figure out how we need to go through the process. Looking forward to that. As well as that, we have today a couple of new members who are joining and who have not had the opportunity to introduce themselves. Either they were not able to attend last time, or this is the first time that they're joining. So we're going to start with that in just a second, but I want to pass it to Steve for any of your comments.
Thank you, and thank you all for participating again today. We appreciate all of your efforts and the homework that you all undertook. We got some excellent feedback in a couple of weeks, and we'll learn from that and hopefully move forward in a successful way. And I do want to welcome all participants this morning. As Hans said, we've got a couple of folks that were unable to join us at our previous meeting, so we want to give them an opportunity to introduce themselves. So, Devin, can you provide a brief introduction?
Sure. I'm Devin McGraw. I'm the lead for data stewardship and data sharing at Invitae, which is a clinical genetic testing company. I came to Invitae from a company called Citizen, which I helped to co-found, which helps patients gather all their health information from all the places where they've been seen and puts it under their control to use and share as they need to. Prior to that, I was the Deputy Director for Health Information Privacy, the HHS Office for Civil Rights for about 2.5 years, and also served as the Acting Chief Privacy Officer for the Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT. Led the Tiger Team on privacy and security in the predecessor to the HITACH, the Health IT Policy Committee. So I'm actually really happy to be back in the FACA world and working with this group. In general, my areas of expertise, again, are more on the patient access and privacy and security side. I was excited to see that we have expertise from lots of different pockets of the healthcare ecosystem, which is going to be great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Raymond?
I don't think he has joined, Steve, but okay. Jeff Danford's here.
And Jeff, can you provide a brief introduction as well? And again, most certainly welcome.
Sure. Thank you, and appreciate it. So again, my name is Jeff Danford, and I am with Allscripts Altera, and I am the solution manager for their interoperability, primarily focused on their fire specifications and API development. But in general, the full list of HL7 public and proprietary interoperability APIs.
Great, thank you. And I'm gonna turn the floor back to Hans, and we'll proceed into the meat of our meeting.
All right, and welcome everybody. Looking forward to work with you. Let's see, let's go to the next slide. And what we are, actually the one before, it does state that we're going to try to tackle groups 1 through 3. But what I want to do is just restep a little bit through the process, look at the next couple of slides to clarify, address any questions. And we're going to try to go as far as we can. This is the first time. We're not sure whether we can get everything tackled in one meeting between 1 through 3, or whether we're only going to be able to get through some of group 1. Hopefully it will be somewhere in between the two. And that based on that, we can then recalibrate our approach, our learning, what worked, what doesn't work, and then do that next week and repeat until we're done. So it's going to be a learning for everybody. But based on some questions that were raised during the last 2 weeks about reviewing the standards, how to go about it, when to abstain, when not to abstain, how to seek input, probably the best that in the next couple of slides we look through that a little bit and also go to a high level question of what are we trying to really achieve. So start there, and then between Steve and myself, we're going to go back and forth in the spreadsheets on what's happening. So overall, our goal is to provide guidance on all of the standards that are in the spreadsheet that we all had access to, and quite a few have started to fill out, to give insight as to, is this something that we should maintain as is, because we are not aware of anything new out there, or if there's something newer out there, it's really not anything substantial to make it worth going up to that. So that would be one area. Another would be for a number of standards where there is a newer version out there, or there's another standard out there, and is it appropriate to go to a newer version or not, and therefore retire or replace the current one and remove that from regulation. But it's not just removing it, it's put something else in place. The intent is not to go too deep into really understanding what that newer version or what that other standard would be. We're not trying to provide the guidance on exactly if tomorrow the regulation would be updated, then that's the right version to do. We're not trying to do that. We're only trying to indicate is that this is something that we know that there's something newer, likely better, possibly better out there. And ONC, you should consider that. There is something happening there that is worthy of that. And if that happens, then this one can retire. So that's really the extent to which we're trying to get into it. And that goes to one of the questions that we had popping up during the meeting last week and during the last 2 weeks. Is about how much do we really need to know about the standards? Because not everybody is familiar with all the standards, and certainly not everybody is familiar with all the details that are in there. There are quite a few unique attributes, awareness that's happening there. And some might know more about one or the other, but likely nobody will know everything about all the standards. That perhaps will be needed if we truly wanted to make a recommendation, say use version 5 or 6 or whatever, or this standard that is separate, that may be needed. But for the objectives here, that is not a requirement per se. So if we don't know everything about the standards, that's okay. We need to know something about it. So that still means that if we are not clear, and therefore we cannot in our reviews indicate immediately a maintain or a replace with another version or another standard, then we want to learn more about it. So at any point in time that somebody feels that that we need to dig a little bit deeper, that we don't have somebody else on the task force that can provide the necessary insight, we need to indicate that in one of the upcoming meetings, somebody needs to come to us and provide a perspective that can help us make that recommendation. But again, it is not about being final and firm on what exactly that new version needs to be. Just there's something out there and it's worth looking at for the next round of regulation. That's effectively the justification of why it's not just a maintain, but this one should be retired because there's something else that's likely better out there. So that we need to keep in mind as we run through. So that goes to, and depending on how you like to work through that, there are really three questions in that regard. Is the purpose for which this standard is provided, is that still relevant? And if not, then we don't need to look at that anymore. Then clearly the standard, even though it's a great standard, is not needed anymore. So that's question number one that really that starts out with. Second question is that, is there something better out there? And is that better, because we need it, the function, is there something better out there that we need to move towards? And that better can be a new standard, different standard, or it can be a version of the standard, or maybe there's a transition that we still need to accommodate. But again, we don't have to be precise about that in that regard.
And
that's the backdrop, Steve.
Is it Steve? And just to elaborate on what better might mean in this kind of case, looking at something like ICD-10 or a vocabulary code set that has a more expanded vocabulary, or looking at another standard that may have had a gap in the past, and there's a need to fill that gap, or a new standard fills that gap, are kind of examples as to what might make a standard more appropriate for current use. And from a time horizon perspective, this process is under law supposed to occur every 3 years. So we're really looking at making a recommendation, if you make a recommendation about a replacement standard, keeping that kind of in mind as we're looking at the maturity of that standard. So we're not necessarily looking at making a recommendation that says in 10 years, replace a standard, but more looking at it more on the shorter horizon.
Great. So let's stop there for a moment and see whether there are any questions or comments or thoughts around that, whether this helps before we jump into the slides. Does that help clarify what we're trying to do? And we're going to figure it out as we go as well. So we're all trying to understand where exactly is the boundary. And we will be looking at ONC a couple of times to say, is that, are we going too far, or is it acceptable to have this kind of a recommendation? So where needed, we'll reach out and make sure that we are in line with the intended charter of the task force. So if not, then we'll jump to the next part and pull us back if we need to clarify something more. So if you go to the next slide, and the couple of slides, they all start to look the same. This is where we have the list of slides. So if you gently go to the next slide to get a sense of, if you can stop right here, you'll see a couple of things happening there, either one of those two, is that we not only have the slide, the standard that is currently in place, and we identified, I think it was Ram Sharam who identified the place where we needed to fix something. So if you saw it recently around one of the standards, there's a clarification there. But in principle, that's the slide, that's the standard stated in the rules. The second column is where we have the version that as of the ASVAB that was very recently, last couple of weeks, that was published, that is permitted to be certified against as well, instead of voluntarily, but it can be certified against. So that would give an indication that, yes, while a couple of years ago, the base the standard was in the left-hand column, today, we know there is a more current version, and actually it can be recognized in certification. Then there's also the scenario where you look at the latest published column, is that there are a number of standards where there is a more current version out there, most likely if it's not listed in the ASVAB, that's out there and that's available to be considered. So where possible, there is a link to that. Some of those might need to be still included, but it gives an indication that there is something new out there as in terms of a version of that standard. It is not indicated whether there might be another alternative standard for that that already could be considered. I'm going to go out on a small limb and say is that, for example, for CCDA, there is starting to be an opportunity to express that in FHIR. So an alternative there, whether it's already mature enough or not, we'll debate that later. But that is not listed in the latest published because that's a different standard fulfilling the same purpose. So that's what we have currently in the first three columns that can help us inform, be informed about what we could consider. But there might be some of those that are blank and that you are aware of that, hey, there actually is a newer one version out there that we should consider and it's not listed yet. So don't take the latest published as the exact final list. There might be something out there that we didn't catch yet. So that's the general way to orient ourselves around that. And then the grouping we have there. Everybody started to fill out or at different places to filling out whether to maintain, replace, phase it out, et cetera, that we can look at and that we can start to begin to draft our thoughts and suggestions. So for today, for these ones, and if you go to the next slide, if we get to group three, same idea, we're gonna go as far as we can. We don't want to rush it, particularly today. We're all getting our feet wet in this. So we're going to start, see where it lands. So Steve, any thoughts, comments here or other questions around this before we actually jump in to the spreadsheet?
No, I think you did a great job. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? Questions? Ah, I see a question from Fazil. Go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to point out that group one seems to be terminology standards, which might be for which it might be useful to have a discussion on what it means to get to a newer version and what it means to phase out. Because unlike different formats and different on the wire presentations that other standards may involve when we upgrade or change, with the terminology standards having a newer version, it seems that it's almost a given that we want the latest version, especially given the history of COVID. We want the COVID codes that are in the newest versions of the standards that don't exist in the one that was published with originally. But at the same time, what would it mean to deprecate the ones that were specifically mentioned at the specific version?
Great comment, Fasil. And actually, that is in group one. It happens to be that that around the first topic around coordination of care, there were a lot of code sets and there were a lot of syntactical standards. So that's why they split in group one and two. You'll see that that's a little bit more mixed in some of the later groups because the overall group was smaller. So we could look at them in context. So that's also why we put one and two at the beginning together, but it's a bigger group. And clearly we want to start based on your comment about some considerations across any code system that is being referenced because you're hitting on a good point on how can we already today maintain and use a more current version and consider whether that applies across the board or not. So your topic that you raised will actually be one of the first things that we're going to get into when we dive into group one. Clem, you have your hand up.
Well, some of the vocabulary standards have sort of a built-in progression so that it's specified that when the new standard comes out, it should be taken up. Do we really have to talk about them again?
I think we need to at least clarify how the current process works. And it may very well be. I think a number of us are likely going to land on that same spot. Is that we don't need to talk about everyone individually as much, but we want to make sure is that we're all aware of how the current process works and why therefore a particular recommendation actually might work and bundle the entire group together rather than each one at a time, unless something jumps out. But yes, similar as with the Vasil, you're jumping to the first part of the discussion we want to begin with when we get to group one.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else before we jump in? All right. What's the easiest if either one of us gets to share their spreadsheets and then we can make comments along the way, or that Mike, either one of the team gets the displays the spreadsheet and we make some updates and you can see them happen as we take notes?
Yeah, I believe Josie's going to share her screen.
All right. Now I have the opportunity to have an extremely large screen, so I can just about see the entire spreadsheet all at once. So if you see me go back and forth like that, that's why. So let's see where we can start. So let's begin with the, we may need to at times scroll back and forth to the right. And in a moment, we actually may shrink the columns B, C, and D so that they disappear as we go to the right to have enough space. So we need to look at that. You can leave it there, but maybe move the hide it for now or come back. Either way, we'll see what's the easiest, what we need to really hold on to. But let's go to the comments from both Vasil and Clem first. If you look at group one in its entirety, all code systems, and you look at the vocabulary, and you look at a couple of other groups where also code systems and vocabulary are being referenced, they have something in common all across the board. And that is that updates to these standards happen frequently. That might be every 6 months, 3 months, a year, whatever. They happen frequently. So a number of years ago, as part of the certification program, prior to the 21st Century Cures Act's final rule came about, is that a rule or a guidance was put in place, and it was put in the rule as well, and ONC can provide further clarification on that where needed, is that it allowed that certified software can always take advantage of the latest version published. So while the regulation might reference version one, whatever one, the actual certified software, and as they progress, can pull in the latest version and note that, and then move forward. So a mechanism was already baked in to ensure that we would not only be allowed or required to certify against the original version, the floor, if you will. That was baked in. So as long the progression you can make from there is that as long as that guidance and that rule remains intact with a next version of the regulations, then the next version of the regulation would have the then most current version listed, but with the same guidance in place that, hey, if as long as the you use a more current version, that's okay. So if we believe that that mechanism works okay, if we believe that that none of these code sets, and that's where we need to look at, has a better alternative as a new standard in place, from a version perspective, the mechanism is there to stay current, and we can keep that discussion then relatively short. But we must agree that we want to make sure that rule stays in play and confirm that that's indeed the case. And we'll open it up in a moment to make sure that is our understanding. And the second is that there is no code system in group one for which we want to say, hey, there's a much better code system out there, and this one is no longer needed at all. So that's where we wanted to go first and make sure that is clear. And want to particularly go to Clem and to Vasil is that, is that the same understanding you have on how we can keep current with whatever the latest version is of the code sets and start with that? Is there any or anybody else that believes there is a nuance to that or that's incorrect?
I don't think I have any comments for this. It's except to say that let's proceed with what you're saying, because that we could dispense with a lot of discussion if we accept it.
I do think there's a nuance, and that is if we keep the rule, which I think I agree we should keep that rule, update the base version, but the rule needs to contain a safety valve for historical data. So if my health system saw a patient in 2018 and they recorded some observations with low encode of some version, whatever version was at that time, and then we update now that the floor would be lowing 2.92 or whatever the current version is, having that historical observation maintain the LOINC and the version that it was recorded in should be considered compliant with certification and not cause failure in certification tests. I don't know if I was clear on what I'm trying to say.
Any questions about it? I completely understand what you are raising and completely agree with that, that we want to make sure any historical data that's already out there, referenced, older versions, that's still permissible. You don't need to upgrade everything. I see, Devin, you have your hand raised.
I do, only because I think I have a slight nuance on the way that standard adoption guidance should be interpreted. So yes, for sure, vendors can adopt the more current version of the standard ahead of being mandated to do so. But certainly with respect to these standards, if we have an opportunity to push for the elimination of standards that really should go away, because otherwise, in between the issuance of certification standards, any vendor could just continue to adhere to the earlier version until such time as it goes away. So, which I think is something that you emphasized, Hans, but maybe not in exactly that way. Which
okay.
is, yes, the standards advancement process helps to sort of voluntarily get newer versions adopted. But at some point, and I can't say that this applies to any of the standards that are currently in the group, but at some point, there could be a long time period between when a new certification rule comes out. And if we, at any rate, if we think that there's something that ought to be retired, i.e. no longer eligible for, a vendor to default to, that we want them to go to the more advanced standard, that's just something to keep in mind in terms of how that works. There's always the option to upgrade, but you don't have to upgrade until the old standard is no longer acceptable.
Right. This is Steve. I think we do want to have or make a recommendation that says, if there's a floor, here's where the floor is.
Yeah.
We may need to elevate that floor periodically, again, kind of considering backward compatibility. But right. on the other hand, if you're not modernizing your language or your standards, you then run into some difficulty with exchanging data with a vendor's product that hasn't modernized or kept up to date.
Much more articulately stated, Steve. Thank you.
And maybe if we use a hypothetical of the cadence at which this task force is meant to operate after 5 years of the enactment of the law, that's today, quote unquote, today, roughly, and then every 3 years thereafter. And let's assume that the regulations follow suit with that pattern. Again, hypothetical, we don't know exactly what the timeline is. The construct that is in play today is that regulation would raise the floor, and that's what you must be able to use at least. And SFAP is that it may be used, that you can go up at any point in time in between, and there's some rules around that. And that the next time around when a new regulation comes up, the floor is raised to whatever is then agreed to, and you should not use anything earlier. But I think that for code systems, that typically means is that, and it goes back to Vasil's comment, historical data, you're not going to convert. You're going to keep that. That's what it was. But any new data should now start to use the newer version of the vocabulary. It's happening with other topics where you CCDA would be a good example. Is that when that went to a newer version, new floor, is that the generation of the document is now occurring to that new standard. Old documents, you're not going to convert to the newest standard. There's still old CCRs out there, still old CCDs, still old whatever out there. They're there, they're documents, they exist. But new documents should start to be generated according to that. And I think that we need to keep that distinction as well, is that what does a new floor mean? Which is already in place in that way, that you then, from that point forward, change that. If we want to argue that, okay, we should do that more frequently than every 3 years, back to the hypothetical timeline, then that sounds like a different discussion outside of the task force, where that needs to be brought up. Here, it would only be about if assume that a next regulation is to come out very shortly, whatever that might be, is that should we consider that this standard is ready to be replaced or maintained or otherwise? So I think we have to be a little cautious about how far do we get into that part of the conversation to make comments on how quickly should we move the floor up? That's a different question.
This is Steve. I think we need to be sensitive and cognizant of other laws or other processes that are out there that might vary a little bit looking at the particular standard. ICD-10, for example, comes to mind as something that's regularly updated, and there are other laws or other processes that are dependent upon the then current ICD-10 language for billing purposes. And if you're not using what's then current, you may not get paid as a healthcare provider. So yep. That there may not be a need to specify the current version in this regulation. However, there is a driver outside of outside of this reference to standard that might drive what standard really needs to be in place.
So with this context and discussion, picking up on Clem's comment, can we make a statement across all of these code systems in group one? Is that the general sense of the group, that that's the direction we want to head? And if you look at the draft disposition, do we think that it has enough notes in there to be able to start to craft a recommendation for that and apply it to the entire group, if not the other code systems as well? Or is there anything, and then if you want to scroll down gently through group one, is there any code system that is referenced here for which that would not apply, because you believe that there is actually a totally different standard, not a new version, but a totally different standard that should be considered and that we need to discuss as the rationale why this one should not be not just maintained and replaced with a new version, but it should be retired and replaced with a new standard to be considered. Anything that jumps out there? And I see Vasil, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I put it in the comments. I don't know if those comments were visible in my comment. I put the comment on the cell wherever we entered our stuff. So I don't know if those are visible. But the only one that I think that applies to is the RFC for languages. It is not that the RFC is wrong, but the proper reference, I believe, should be the best current practice, BCP, I think it's 47, whatever I put in the comment. So the reference to the IETF document should be different, and that different reference includes the RFC. I don't believe it changes anything about the actual value set that is to be used. It's just a better reference.
Okay, I now see where you made the comments. And actually, it would be great if for other ones, as you go through, if you put that comment in column W, then it's easier to catch and then the little square triangle in the box. Josie, if you can scroll to column O, row 11, 12, and 13, 14, that's where Vasil made some of the comments, and particularly on that one. And if you hover over it, you can see Yep, there you go.
And this is Steve. I'm going to make a friendly amendment in the space, which is not a policy change, but a practice recommendation to, where possible, add a footnote for the relevant standards so that as you're looking at regulation, it becomes pretty evident that yes, this it the SVAP does apply and it is indeed a floor.
All right, so with that, so Fazil, I think we need to double check that the reference to BCP, these references on the left-hand side come from the rules. So, and we found one place where there is a, the way it's referenced in the rule was not exactly how it was in the column. And sounds like that this is along those lines and we need to fix the update to make sure that BCP is in there. So we can double check that, make sure that we got that. But the principle then is that on that one as well, is that if a newer version comes out, we can just upgrade to it. That's permissible, that's fine. And for the other three where you have comments, that effectively will be covered under the same comment as well. The then most current as well as in between, you can be current as you can and want. Does anybody have a concern with that general approach? Because then we're going to try to craft a recommendation along those lines and these notes, and then we can further refine that in our next round of review.
There is a question.
Go ahead.
In the chat, not mine.
Sorry, I covered the chat. Can you clarify why there are sometimes multiple versions of the standards listed from Samantha? There were a couple of places that there's actually a different date associated with them. And in other places, so if you look at, for example, SNOMATS on row 9 and 8 and 10, they are different releases that are referenced. So perhaps the comment could be is that wouldn't it be nice if that is aligned? The other one is we may need to go into detail to understand is there a particular subset that is being referenced there. But Samantha, are those the three that you were thinking of particularly, or was there another one? But they are actually different versions.
And one of the other places where things happened where there may be a implementation guide and then an addendum as an example being immunization data, where there are two documents listed. One is the core, then is an addendum that came out a little bit later.
Yes, that was what I was referencing, just if there was any nuance to why they were sort of different listings to consider in this. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, so we could blend that in and indicate that keep current, but also minimize then the reference to multiple versions of the same standard. That does get beyond the scope perhaps a little bit, but we can see whether when we refine that, whether that's acceptable to at least add that as a note.
Well, Hans, one of the ways we may address that is rather than looking at a specific recommendation, looking at it as a more holistic recommendation in terms of as an approach to maintain, so that there's a more global piece that says, looking at maintaining standards, there may be benefits to maintaining or utilizing a single implementation of a standard across federal regulations rather than different implementations of the same standard.
Right. Unless there is a concern, we'll start to then, based on the comments made, draft a general recommendation for all of group one, because they all fall in the same category. And as we get to other groups that reference code systems, we will at that point in time assess the question, is there a totally different vocabulary that's appropriate to start to be considered, and therefore we need to address that separately, or can we let it fold under the overall recommendation we started in group one? Clem, go ahead. Clem, if you're talking, you're on mute. Okay, we'll come back to Clem in a moment. Okay.
The code for languages, could you center that on the screen?
Yes, that would be row 11.
Yeah, what's the proposal for this one?
It would generally fall in the same category if there's a more current version as you can use in the same way that was talked about. But Vasil raised is that there is, if you were to go scroll to the right to column O, there is a reference missing in the standard to BCP 47. So we need to do a little bit of follow-up that we can do outside the meeting, make sure is that is the reference in A11 completely accurate, or is there something missing?
Well, what I'd like to, I was involved in the early days of this this choice, and there really were two different specs. And one of them was very large and included dead languages, and the other one was more modest in size, did not include dead languages. I think we'd be better off with the latter one, you know, the modest in size, but I can't specify which is which. I'm sorry, so I'm not much help.
If we can follow up on that, if the shorter version is already, that's the one here, then we are already in sync. If the other one was referenced that allows for more, we will have to then address the question of if switching to another standard, would that be a concern, or is that something that we want to recommend as worthy looking at?
And then these LOINC codes, you know, there's more recent ones, right?
Oh yeah, and everybody is already permitted to use the more current version. And as Jill indicated, in a number of areas, that's already done. If you look at the COVID codes and other ones, that is happening and it's permitted. So that falls in the general rule that we are aligning on.
But we're still going to consider whether we need to raise the floor, right? Because what is in the current specification, this is the current floor, isn't it?
Correct. And I think that we indicated that the general recommendation would be along the lines of in the next regulation, go to the then current version as the floor.
Right.
So it is not a strict maintain. It is a replace with a more current version as the floor. While in the meantime, that should not, the rule that after that, you still can then use then most current version after that, while you're in progress, that still needs to remain in effect. Plus the historical comment that you need to be able to hold on to whatever the older values were, because that was in effect. We're not going to upgrade that. And we are going to have make sure that in that Devin's comment is recognized as well. While for this one on language, we need to check out the BCP 47, and we want to check out the two standards, the longer and the shorter, which one were they, and circle back to that to determine, do we want to have a specific recommendation for that? That's, I think, where we sit so far for all of group one. Does that sync, Fasil? Does that capture it? And we will have the opportunity when we have a draft of a final recommendation to go back and make sure that we didn't miss any of that. You okay with that, Fasil? Or?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. I'm just typing the note in, and I'm using bold for any comments that were made today that we need to make sure that we don't forget. Other ones were made last week. Okay. Does that mean that we wrapped up group one? I think so, Steve.
I think so.
Okay. All Are we ready to go?
Can we go through so that we agree that we are going to lift the floor on every one of them?
Sure. Let's go through it, Hans, just really fast and just kind of make sure that we're all.
Yeah, would there be anyone in group one that lifting the floor to the denmost current is appropriate to consider?
I'm just going to kind of read through the lines real fast for people. Okay. And if anybody has a concern, please put something in chat or speak up.
And one clarification, Steve, before you do that, I don't think we want to point to a specific new floor, because we don't know when the regulation comes out. It's the principle of going to whatever the most current floor version would be.
Absolutely. Code on Dental Procedures and Nomenclature, CDT. Current procedural terminology, fourth edition, CPT-4. Healthcare Common Procedure Coding System, HCPCS. ICD-10 CM encounter diagnosis code set for the following conditions: diseases, injuries, impairments, other health problems, and their manifestations, causes of injury, disease, impairment, or health problems. International Classification of Diseases, ICD-10 PCS 2020. RX norm, September 8th, 2015, full release update. SNOMED International Systemized Nomenclature of Medicine Clinical Terms, SNOMED CT, US edition, September 2019 release. Systemized Nomenclature of Medicine Clinical Terms, SNOMED CT, international release, July 31st, 2012, and US extension to SNOMED CT, March 2012. I guess that's one of the ones we may want to call attention to, is to alignment with the other implementation of SNOMED CT.
Correct. And I'll update the notes on line 10 to that extent, that it covers 9 through 11.
Systemized Nomenclature of Medicine, Clinical Terms, SNOMED CT, US edition, September 2015 release. RFC 5646, Tags for Identifying Languages, September 2009.
And we have two comments. One is to check on the BCP 47 reference, and we want to explore what the two standards are, the long and the short, if you will, and which one we want to use in our arguments. So that's a follow-up that we have.
Logical observation identifiers, names and codes, Loinc database version 252, released June 2015. Logical observation identifiers, names, and codes, Loinc database version 2.40, released July 2012. And again, that's another opportunity for synchronizing. Line 14, the unified code of units of measure, revision 1.9, HL7, CDA, R2, IG, CCDA templates.
That's group two.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, right. Thanks.
Okay. So we'll craft that accordingly. We'll get back to the other code systems, which ones can follow suit and which ones need to be addressed separately as we get to them. But that means is that we have a good idea about group one, and we can begin with group number two. Any comments before we start with that? And jump in there. Okay, Steve will progress the same way, but now we'll most likely have to go more line by line.
So looking at the first one, HL7, CDA, R2, IG, CCDA templates for clinical notes, R2.1, companion guide released to October 2019, IBR approved for 170.205A5.
On this one, I see the note from Debbie. I think that she might have already left or is still on, not sure. But she asked that she has some comments around CCDs. which would be document types within CCDA impacted by the companion guide, and row 17. She asked that we could push that to next week when she would be able to participate based on her questions that she has. Is there a concern with shifting sequence around and that we put them to the end of this group and come back to that next week? Not hearing any.
I don't think it affects the version though. If we're just looking at the version, I think her comments are, can we get these documents through FHIR and why can't we make people give them away through FHIR?
So we could have the initial discussion then, but we may want to circle back to make sure that there's nothing else in there. Is that reasonable that we definitely will circle back to make sure that we can discuss that?
Yes.
Okay. So CCDA raises an interesting question. There are two parts to that effectively. It is the underlying implementation guide. That's row 15. And there is the, where is the companion guide? I always get confused. The first one is the companion guide. So 16 is the underlying standard or implementation guide. And then the companion guide is on top of that with the additional guidance that is provided. The second one, if you can open up the latest, the ASVAB and the latest, that would be helpful here. To have that context as well. So the question here is that which one can start to move up and which one, and therefore it is a next a consideration for next round and which one is likely to stay the same. You see two notes. ASVAB has a more current version recognized for the companion guide because a lot of the work is happening there to adjust to a USCDI version 2 or other requirements. The underlying implementation guides that it's built on, CCDA, has stayed the same. There is some repackaging. There is a current version out there, but it's really a repackaging of the errata with the basic document. And it includes a reference to the CDA style sheet. So that's what's happening there. Before we go to 17, we'll tackle that separately unless somebody needs to pull that in. If I heard Vasil correctly, his interpretation of Debbie's note, might that be is that a consideration could start to be here that a lot of progress has been made in FHIR around documents that that are able to express it. So is this the time to not only say go more current, but actually start to consider FHIR? Is that, Vasil, where your thoughts were coming from?
Steve? No, okay. No. It is specifically querying for documents, querying for existing CCDA documents using FHIR queries as opposed to other mechanisms of obtaining the document.
Then I think we need to bring that back up with the ITI discussion, probably. Does that make sense? That we park it there? Because that ITI infrastructure is much more about the queries by which you get it, not the document itself. Because you have two parts. How do I query for it? FHIR or document exchange from IHE. And the other part is the content, the payload, the document expressed in CCDA, or is it expressed in FHIR? And those are, so the content would be a question here. The means by which to query would be the ITI infrastructure. Is that fair to split them up that way? Okay with that, Vasil?
I'm okay to, yeah, the splitting the question, I agree with.
Okay. The answer might be different, might be yep. The same, who knows? So for 15 and 16, because they really go together in this regard, um, it sounds like that because there is a newer version ASVAB already, that at least one could consider that the current version in regulations should be replaced by the then most current one. If that were to be now, that's the one in ASVAB. If it were to be a year or two from now, there might be another version out there because there's going to be updates to cover USCDI version 3, for example. So it depends a little bit on where we are with the next regulation, what would happen. So on the one hand, that sounds like a consideration that we use the most current version at that point in time, and no consideration that we would put in here about an alternative way of expressing documents. At the same point in time, there's a lot of work going on with the FHIR. So another part of the suggestion as to why to retire this version, although it might then work out differently, is that, hey, is it, depending on when you do it, is it time to begin with FHIR-based documents that express the same content, just different format? Any thoughts as to where, looking at the different comments that were made, a number of people are still working on it. Some indicate maintain, some indicate phase it out, replace, and that the latter would be, because there is an ASVAB version already out there, so at least go up to that, if not more current at that time. Any thoughts? What makes sense here? And we need to make sure that with Debbie next week, we'll circle back and don't miss that part.
We're talking about the companion guy, right? Row 15, or?
I think it's 15 and 16 kind of go together, but let's focus on 15. Because that's the most variable one. That's the one that changes the most frequently. Is there general sense that go to the most current one, raise the floor, and that's why we can remove the current version reference? That should not be in the next version. It should be something more current.
What is the implication of USCDI version 2? Would USCDI version 2 be a requirement?
That is coming later, but that would be another question to look at. I think it's in group 5 or 6. Should USCDI version 1 be retired because there is a more current version out there? USCDI version 2 was just published. USCDI version 3 is expected to be published shortly. So if a regulation were to come out in the next couple of months, next year, but before July next year, would it make sense to increase USCDI version? And if you do that, you need a companion guide that can support that, which is the latest companion guide supports V2. If USCDI version 3 comes out now, then next year we would have another companion guide to support that. It's about a year-ish behind. So you have to be careful that if you say up USCDI in the next version, but there's no companion guide yet or there's no FHIR US core yet to support it, you're going to get out of sync.
So Hans, taking that to heart, one of the things we may want to, I'm not sure we revisit group 1, but we may want to have a caveat looking at going to the current standard. Just considering dependencies.
Yes, and in the note that I put in, based on USCDI progression, and that can be spelled out more if you were to go, it's on the screen. It is for exactly that reason that if USCDI is already up to version 3, regulations are being proposed and the supporting standards for that are not out yet, then it would be a hard pressed situation to require USCDI version 3 without having the supporting standards yet. So right. You have to be very careful.
And just to elaborate for the work group, thinking about the idea where there may be standards or implementation guides that have internal dependencies or dependencies upon other standards, and thinking about how the regulations may actually interplay and looking at how regulations are updated, not necessarily all at the same time, making sure that the recommendation addresses a framework so that there is internal compatibility on standards reliance, so we're not outpacing ourselves.
Right. In that context, any comments, thoughts, reasonable stake in the ground to go with a then most current, but be aware of UCDI, that it cannot get ahead of that cannot get ahead of the version. And I will update that comment to clarify that.
It's Jim Jurgis. Can I ask a quick question?
Go ahead.
You know, I know that the US CDI version can get ahead of the requirement for its use, and that we're suggesting here that they address more, you know, moving to a more contemporary version. But did the ONC have a plan outside of our recommending that to address the versions 2s, 3s, 4s, 5s, and 6s of US CDI? Or does that have to be something that is manually deliberately put into regulation? For example, is ONC going to drive the versioning discussion and requirement? Is there already a mechanism to get version 2 and then ultimately version 3 into the requirement for what people are exchanging?
There are the following mechanisms that with today's certification rule that references UCDI version 1. Then the ASVAB just came out that recognizes UCDI version 2, plus the CCDA and FHIR US core standards to support UCDI version 2. And that's voluntary. So if certified software may certify to that latest version, they don't have to. If you are in other mechanisms, contracts otherwise, that's not controlled by regulations. Who knows what people might require? So there's other programs that may indicate that as part of their progression, they would like to already start to support UCDI version 2. And there are other programs that are proposing that. So it is possible that somewhere else that's the case, but that's not the focus of what we're looking at here. Here we're looking at the progression of the standards within the regulation from ONC, not others might do.
Which means, Jim, that that ONC is ultimately controls when things are required, but they would have to do so through a rulemaking process, for which there would be public comment,
right,
a public comment period as well.
Yes. So here we could say is that just the general principle is that related to at least 15, we could say that is for a next regulatory round, this is ready to be retired and replaced by the most current version of that companion guide, as long as it corresponds with and is in line with USCDI, which in itself could have gone up to some level. But as we see the progression right now, is that you can do that for, you can move up to USCDI version 2 right now, and therefore you can move up to this companion guide. They're both recognized in SFAP. But if USCDI version 3 comes out tomorrow, but a year from now or next year, March, April, May, CCDA has been updated and FHIR US core has been updated, you would be hard pressed because it's not yet in SFAP. Yes, there is a latest version, but to put that already in regulation without the supporting standard there is hard. It's actually not, depending on your point of view, not advisable. From that perspective, do we think we have, at least for 15, a general direction of yes, go as current as you can, but please don't have UCDI get ahead of it? Is that the direction that we are heading? Because then we can use that to start to craft our proposal. Not hearing any, Steve, are you hearing any or seeing anything there that gives us pause to not start with that?
I think we're in good shape.
Okay. Next one then is the underlying CCDA guide. That hasn't changed in a while. Unless others are aware of a upcoming publication, we cannot point to that. It's nothing is published beyond a repackaging. So it's really substantially not doing anything more. What else can we say here other than maintain? Because you cannot drop it. If you drop it, then effectively the companion guide is on its own.
I think maintaining the makes sense.
Right, so we would land at maintain. And who knows, by that time something comes out, but that then would automatically become part of the debates. Okay, before then going to the next row, is there anybody who believes that this is the time to also bring as part of the arguments as an alternative to consider FHIR documents? So not the query by way of FHIR, but actual FHIR documents instead of CCDA documents would express the exact same thing, similar concepts, just a different representation using FHIR constructs. One could argue that is too early and therefore don't even bring it up as part of the argument. Some could argue that it's, depending on the timing, you might get there. It could be maybe an additional opportunity you can start with. So it's permitted, but not required. You still need to do CCDA, but you could start to move into that direction, or it could be an exclusive shift over because we're ready. I'm not convinced about the latter. I have my questions about the second. The first one is that, I'm not sure where we sit yet that it's far enough along. But that's now my opinion head on. But curious about others.
I think it's too early.
Okay.
I'd have to agree.
Okay. So then we are not going to raise that as, at most we might say is that too early to consider a FHIR at the time of writing of this recommendation.
Yeah, if for no other reason, just because of the level of adoption. As we get a little bit farther along, yes, absolutely.
So maybe 3 years from now, that would be as part of the then current task force to consider that. Okay, anybody else on that? And I'll make a note here as well, circle back with Debbie to see whether it is related to the content or whether it's related to the query. And either way, we'll make sure that we catch that. Next one is, Steve, I think we are then okay with 16 as well?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Want to go then to 17?
International phone numbers.
No, actually, row 17 is the IHC health story consolidated. It's an early version. Actually goes a little bit to Vasil's point of there's something historical there. And when you cannot stop supporting that, you need to be able to read all the documents because they're in systems. Can't stop reading them because then that doesn't work. So some of the reactions are maintained. Some people are working on it.
I'm definitely not maintained, just...
Okay.
This is basically, for those who are confused, this is CCDA version 1.1.
Yes.
The previous one was CCDA 2.1. So I think it's time for this to be retired with the understanding that consumers must still be able to process them, even though it's retired.
So do we want to look at the text to just frame our recommendation? That it can be retired as a B being able to write, which I thought was already retired a while ago, that you don't need to generate. Actually, it's not a generation of a 1.1 CCDA. It's only that you can read it. And if it's written today, and we can double check that it's only there to ensure that you can read 1.1 documents, would you still say retire it, or would you then be okay with maintaining it for that purpose only? Where do you draw the line?
Well, should we ask IHE about where they are in maintaining it?
We could, but I'm pretty sure, and Vasily, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that they're not maintaining it. It sits on the shelf, can be used, but there's no maintenance going on that I'm aware of.
I mean, my personal perspective is that if it's not being maintained and not being utilized, and there's something in play to replace it, then it might be retired.
Generally agreed. The nuance is that, are you looking at it from a generation perspective? Completely agreed. We already have a more current version. So in that sense, retired. From a viewing perspective, should we leave it in there to effectively require that you must be able to read a CCDA that was generated according to 1.1?
Okay, but and I guess that goes back to what is the language of the standard in Correct. The regulation as to what is the regulation requiring use of, or how is the regulation requiring who to do what with this standard?
Correct. So that might be the follow-up that we want to double check before we finalize a recommendation there. Does that make sense? Does that work? Yes.
Because if, as you say, someone has a document in the standard in a separate application to read it, that's not necessarily a regulatory-based activity.
Vasil, does that sync with your thoughts?
I'm thinking.
While you're thinking, I see that Honglu has a question. Go ahead.
I guess I'm a little confused. I understand hesitation, but just because we are retiring something doesn't wipe it from existence. And so there should still be, if it's in place and it's in systems, then it's up to whoever's using it to have backwards compatibility. So we are raising the floor, but that doesn't necessarily mean, because otherwise I can see this being bogged down where we're keeping everything out of fear that we're going to lose old data. Unless I'm a misunderstanding discussion.
No, I think that is the question that's at the heart of it. So to what extent do we want to suggest to retire something and either assume or have a general statement somewhere else? Doesn't mean that your historical data that you now don't need to support reading such a document. So, for example, if I'm system one and system two, I'm asking them, hey, what information do you have on the patient that I'm interested in? And they're going to send everything back. Is that that may include an old document that is done according to 1.1, might even be a CCR going all the way back. So at that point in time, what is my certified or my, from a regulatory perspective, my floor requirement? If we remove it, then one could argue, other than market pressure, is that, I can drop the ability to read it. If I'm a new system, I'm not going to bother about that. If I'm going to be certified and I just got started, I'm not going to bother with those old documents. Is that what we want to do and therefore retire it? And that is open to that? Surely there will be pressure not to. Or do we want to say no, keep it in, because we want to, for some of them at least, like documents in particular, want to make sure that whatever is there, or vocabulary in particular, they are persisted as is, that we don't lose support for that.
Well, again, that goes back to the point of what is the regular, what function is that particular regulatory standard being applied to?
Right.
Is it being applied to information exchange, you know, the ability to generate a document in a particular format, or the ability to ingest something in a particular format? And we can easily find out what those components are, and that may drive some of that usage. That my personal tendency is probably leaning a little bit more towards the ability to ingest older formats, not necessarily generate older formats as a general course of business.
Right. So perhaps the follow-up is that we'll check out what the language actually specifically covers. Go ahead, Fasil.
I think there is a even more nuance here because of the nature of the standard. Because the underlying standard is CDA R2, I think our recommendation for the language, we should recommend that the language is retired and processing old instances should be limited to display only. In other words, the CDA is designed to allow display using common XML standards without having to process the discrete data anymore.
And if you want to do more, have at it, but that's not the minimum requirement.
That's right. If you want to do, of course, process it to the fullest extent. But in terms of, so it's not simply generation versus ingestion. It is also what is the requirement for ingestion, that it is simply display only.
So,
which should allow anybody who has support for display of a CDA document will be able to satisfy that without having to even read the specification for CCDA 1.1.
So the question then is that assume that's the case, if we suggest to drop this standard, is there any concern that by supporting the current standards, that would not cover the view capability? So our argument would be, you can drop it altogether. You don't need to reference it because there is no need to generate. So that's one reason not to. And in order to display only, the current standards, as long as you support that, you effectively support the display only already, and you're covered. No need for the reference to the old one. Is that the argument that you're landing on or going towards? So maybe that's a follow-up, looking at the clock, that we want to make sure we then phrase that in that context as to why we can drop it or why we need to keep it to make sure that the display only can still work. Does that work, Fasil, if we explore that? And then we come back next week with that?
It's almost as if this could be replaced. So completely drop it and replace it with the display only capability for CDA release 2 as a requirement. I don't think that is by itself referenced anywhere.
But we'll check.
It would be actually a good thing to have, because there are all kinds of CDAs, and the ability to display any CDA is an improvement. But anyway,
Why don't we explore that and see what the rationale can be, why we can say drop it altogether or still hold on to it. I see a comment, and then we need to switch over to public comments in a moment. Samantha has a question whether that applies to multiple standards. That is primarily around documents, CCDA documents, less so with messaging, because you either send one message or the other, and then it goes afterwards, the message kind of disappears. but the CCDA document or a document is meant to persist in its in the form in which it was sent. So that's why it has particular consideration that it's part of the record. And when that's exchanged, we need to be able to still do something with it.
Right, that makes a lot of sense. I guess I was thinking of tying this to our group one conversation about sort of backward compatibility. But thank you for clarifying.
Conceptually, it's similar, but we need to look at it slightly different in how what that means for systems that that run that way. So it's not, I think we need to keep them as two separate arguments that look alike. Okay, oh, Stephen, I think we need to go to Mike Berry for public comment.
Yes, sir.
Great, thank you both. We're gonna open up our meeting to public comments. If you're on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function, which is located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you happen to be on the phone only, press star 9 to raise your hand, and once called upon, press star 6 to mute or unmute your line. So let's pause for a moment and see if anyone raises their hand. Not seeing any hands raised, Hans and Steve, so I'll turn it back to you, but we'll keep an eye on it.
All right. Steve, with the time left, do we want to reflect on how this went and see what kind of fine-tuning we need to do for next week as we progress and consider then the scope of homework?
Absolutely.
You want to start with that?
I think it went fairly well. Love to open the floor for people's comments. Did this process work well for task force members? Are there additional things we can provide from an informational standpoint?
So I'm curious whether if folks, and there may be some folks who need a little bit more time to complete the homework, but I'm wondering if, and maybe this was already done in advance of this discussion, and but for these sets of groupings that we're going through, does it make sense to talk only about those standards for which someone has expressed a comment that it needs to be retired or upgraded or wants to discuss versus ones that for which maybe nobody has expressed an opinion that it ought to be retired, just as a way to be more efficient in our discussions versus going one by one? We grouped all of one together, which I actually thought was a very efficient way of dealing with that. And maybe that will be an approach that will work for some of the other groups, but probably won't work for all.
Perhaps one of the considerations there is that part of the purpose of the spreadsheet, filling it out, mm-hmm. and seeing what the consistency is that everybody says maintain, we probably don't spend a lot of time on it.
Right.
And looking at the variety of answers, working on inconclusive, maintain on a number of them, we will have to look at those to make sure is that we're not missing anything.
Yep.
Go through this discussion. We grouped the groupings together. The first group was going to be very big, care coordination. So that's why it was effectively split into two and pull all the code sets together, because we thought we had this opportunity that we could align on a common recommendation. The rest are all somewhat related. Public health is going to have a number of them related. Mm-hmm. The more that we can do it along the lines that you indicate, that would be great, but it all depends on how is the spreadsheet being filled out.
Right.
You see a lot of variations, we'll have to. If there are particularly ones that say maintain it or no, I need to phase it out, and what do you replace it by, we have to start to look at that.
Okay.
Hopefully that makes also, sense. And once we've done this a couple of times, the rationale that we have built up on why to go to the then most current, we honed our references to that and we imply that a little bit more, we can jump to it and say, oh yeah, this is like the other one, no difference, and then move on to the next.
And I want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to comment on any of them, just in case you might have skipped homework or not recognize that there was a standard that you really might care about, just making sure we are being methodical.
Yeah.
Any other comments? Anybody else? What worked or what do we need for next week? Our general question will be, and you'll see a follow-up request for homework, is to complete group two where you haven't done so, and then get as far as possible with the rest in the next week, and then we'll and then go from there, because we hope to get into group three next week, make progress to that end. But anything else that helps? Is there anything based on this? And that's particularly to look at where you say, ah, if this is how we're going to go through it, it would be great that in a particular area that we already line up a presentation. One at least came to my mind is QRDA, quality measures. A lot of different standards in there. There are some things in play there. Might be helpful to get somebody to present on what's the current progression, where are we at, so that it can help us inform our recommendation. So if you see something like that, please already put that in column V, so we can begin to schedule for that presentation.
And this is Steve. I think one thing we may ask as part of homework is if you are curious about what a particular regulation may apply to, we may ask that you send us a quick note on that one so we can gather the right information and be prepared to share that at the next, at the appropriate meeting.
Right. And if you do that in column V, that's the easiest and fastest to find, because then we just need to go up and down that column and put your name in there as well. Then we can go for that. Steve, unless you have anything else, maybe ONC team has any comments, or Stephen, do you have any other?
I've got nothing. Mike, do you have anything we need to take care of?
No, I don't think so. I think for the task force members, we'll send out homework probably later today or tomorrow, and look forward to that. And, you know, I think that if based on our conversation today or your conversation today, you may want to go back into the spreadsheet and update your choices for group one, if you haven't already done so, just so we have a record of that. And as Hans said, you know, just keep going, you know, start with group two and keep going as far as you can so we can move from each group from week to week. I appreciate everybody's time and attention today, and we look forward to seeing you next week. So thank you and have a great day.
All right. Thank you very much.
Talk to you.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.